A new arm of technology, which is having my computer up here because the arm of technology called my printer failed me this morning. And I don't, anyway. So we'll have a little fun with that. But good morning, church.
Good morning.
And let's see what we got here. It did print the last page. There we go. So, heritage. What does heritage mean to you? Well, it could mean a lot of different things. There's a lot of interest in our heritage lately because people are doing their genealogy. They're taking pride in where they come from geographically or ethnically. And so I'm going to give you a homework assignment today. It's a second assignment. And it continues to challenge you to think about the heritage of this church. They're not hard questions. If you could change one thing at St. Francis other than increased membership, what would it be? What is your favorite tradition at St. Francis? What makes this tradition special? So you're loading your groceries in the car and someone approaches you and points to your St. Francis bumper sticker. Tell me about your church. How do you respond? Heritage can also be how we're identified by what we do in addition to geography or language. And somebody might say, oh, well, he comes from a long line of whatever. His mother was a doctor, his father, whatever. And sometimes we're a little bit confused about what heritage is. I know that when I was in high school, my boyfriend called me a Yankee. Now, I was born in Chicago, but I moved to Virginia when I was 6, okay? I was raised in Virginia and North Carolina, but he said, hey, Yankee, so, what can I say? So today's gospel demonstrates the importance of heritage in the ministry of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus calls his followers to repent and to change, to wipe away the past, and sometimes his teachings tell us to remember who we are and whose we are. And we still repent. A preacher named Philip Brooks says this, open wide the eyes of my soul that I may see good in all things. Grant me this day a new vision of your truth. My first failure. The vision of truth for today is forgiveness. It doesn't matter how we define our identity. It matters how God defines our identity. TV, billboard ads have popped up, and they were on the even ads in the Super Bowl. They come across, and there's this scene, and it's a kind of a violent scene, and it says, Jesus loves, or God loves, the people you hate. The Samaritan woman came seeking water, not Jesus. Finding Jesus was so profound that she left her bucket to go spread the good news of her encounter with the Messiah. Her bucket. She left her bucket. Buckets were not easy to come by. That was something that she left it there. Somebody, the next person coming along, will go, oh, good, nice bucket. And that would be the end of that for her. So when you're out seeking something, when you think about, well, let me see, I've got to do this, this, and this for survival or for work or for whatever it is, have you ever, or what would you do if, all of a sudden, you were confronted with Jesus in that process? Are any of us willing to suppose that whatever we seek in this life is secondary to seeking and finding Jesus, to reclaiming Jesus as the love of our life? Jesus doesn't judge or belittle this woman. He offers her the good news of coming together of all humanity to worship together in the spirit of truth. And this encounter is not about who she was, but who she could be. For her, and for us hearing the gospel, it's life-changing. And she takes that life-changing, life-saving truth of living water and shares it with all her neighbors. I'm not sure I do that as well as she did. She receives living water from Jesus. She leaves her pail and races back to town to tell her friends that Jesus is the Messiah. I don't know about you all, but when I take my trash down to the curb and I see my neighbor, I don't say, "Hey, Jesus is the living water." But this passage is so rich, and there's so much insight into who Jesus is and what he promises. He promises who he is, and he says to the woman, "Give me a drink." He was testing her and saying to her, "Think about who I am and what I'm about to tell you." Because he says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water I give will become to them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Imagine that. Can you even imagine that? I find it almost impossible to grasp what it is that Jesus is offering her and us. It's clear that he makes it known to her who he is. She says, "I see you are a prophet." And he basically says, "That's just the tip of the iceberg. But it will soon be, the hour is coming, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." A new time, a new way of worshiping, a new way to be together. She says that she knows the Messiah is coming. And he says, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Then his disciples show back up, and they're astonished about what he's doing. And, but they don't interfere. Sometimes the disciples get in a little bit of trouble, but they stay back this time. So what we have to, I think, ultimately consider about all of this is that even though it's implicit, not explicit, the whole idea of forgiveness in this story. I say that because when I think about who she was and what Jesus did for her, she told Jesus the truth. And by telling the truth, she was saying to him, "I lay everything down before you. This is who I am." She opened up herself to who he was. And in that truth, he made her a promise of living water, eternal life. As a matter of fact, she'd been divorced 5 times, but we don't even know what that was about, whether it was a sordid past or whether it was just that Jewish law where a man, when he got tired of his wife, could just send her on her way. This woman leaves her bucket, the sustenance of her water life, and leaves to go and tell others the good news. So when we think about heritage, we have to think about our past, we think about our present, and our future. Can we leave our bucket behind empty, knowing that we will receive something more abundant than just water? Where in your life have you found Jesus when you really did not expect him? If you can't say, "Oh, well, this time I found Jesus when I didn't expect him," I invite you to keep on the lookout. Because Jesus will show up when you least expect him. And Jesus will be with you when you take from this place the message of living water, the message of eternal truth, the message of eternal life. So as we go forward, as we explore our heritage, take some time and see if Jesus isn't hanging there right with you. I suspect he is. In closing, I just want to say that one of the greatest times that Jesus showed up unexpectedly in my life was bringing me to this place. And I want to thank all of you for the message of living water that you have shared with me in your friendship and your acceptance and your participation in worship. You are indeed messengers of Jesus, and God is well pleased. Amen.